as I'm about to whip out my scepter.
King Haku.
I don't know if he wants that crown messing up his hair.
Here I am for the that. King of my domain.
No. To beat 3-4 guys off in one night.
I mean, Jimmy King would be number one for everybody, I'm sure.
Has his face painted red, white, and blue. He's got the demolition mask on. He's got the 2x4. He's got the crown on the 2x4. Crown on his head.
I see a finger in me there. You don't need to finger me over this.
Horrible pick. All hail King Wooka!
How you like them apples?
Okay, come here, Cher. It's you and me, babe.
Holy crap, man.
But this is my list, damn it.
I'm going to flip-flop my dong in your face. You like that?
Oh, my gosh.
This is a fucking double episode. This is a super special.
Man, we're going top to bottom, bottom to top, all around like Duke wants to do on Sherry's Muff.
I'm going to go with King Ass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get the Royal Zone.
He won the King of the Ring.
It's King Ass.
Edge the Earl of Awesome.
Embrace the Million Dollar Man as king. Did he win one? You know.
Do you see him as a guy who's going to cape and scepter it? Get the sedan out there?
It's not short for Raymond.
What kind of morons are riding this crap, man? The most pointless King of the Ring tournament wins of all time. It would have been an amazing king.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast presents another Gorilla Brain Wrestling Podcast special. We're talking special. And when we're talking special, to me, I think King of the Ring. I love the King of the Ring. It's one of my favorite events. It's always been one of my favorite events. I always think it's a great concept, right? We're gonna name a king, the King of the Ring. And it rhymes, which is also nice. Mm-hmm. Now I'm here with my main man, the Long Hard Day Tropic Gal, and Duke slide it in bags, pull it out bags. Sorry, I screwed up your moniker, buddy boy. Duke, pull it out bags. I don't know, Duke. How are you, man? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling strong? Are you feeling pumped? Are you feeling special?
Yeah, man, I'm feeling like the king of my domain over here.
Yeah?
You know, leaving doors open whenever I want to.
Don't start with that. Don't start with that. No, don't start with that door open shitting, man. We're not here for that.
I am the king of my domain.
No. As I'm about to whip out my scepter. Tropical, how are you?
I'm ready for these cicadas to go back to sleep or whatever it is that they or die out, you know, whatever, because the noise outside is incredible at the moment.
Those apparently, giant bugs?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Apparently it's the first time since 1803 that both of these sets have come out of like the hibernation or slumber together since 1803. So it's like not one, but two sets, and it's freaking loud.
Boy, and if they've been sleeping since 1803, they're going to be a honey.
Well, it's the first time since then that they've timed up together. Like one does it every 17 years, one does it every, I don't know, 5 years, something okay. Crap like that.
So you're telling me that they're sinking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Gross. So
it's going to be loud.
Yeah, it does. Oh, yeah. Al, you know me, man. You know I'm a giant King of the Ring fan. What are your general thoughts on the King of the Ring?
There's times that they've made it fun, but there's times they've really watered it down where you're just like, I really enjoy the guys that take it and run with it as the gimmick. Like they take it and make it their gimmick. That becomes a part of them. That goes a lot further than ones that just, okay, I won the tournament, I'll put the crown on, and then I'm going to go about my merry way until I get kicked in the head by Goldberg. You know, that's just...
Well, that's really cute. So I'm gonna pitch it to Duke now because you've made an ass of yourself. Duke, what are your general thoughts on the King of the Ring, man?
Yeah, I love the King of the Ring, man. Especially in its kind of classic form. I mean... The tournament started in 85, and it used to be it was just a one-night tournament on
like
house shows.
Like a house show gimmick, yeah.
Yeah. First 5 or 6 years, and then 93, they made it a annual pay-per-view for the next, I think, 10 years or so, and it's come back every few years since then. Yeah, a lot of impressive performances over the years. You know, the thing about the King of the Ring is the tournament, and I'm kind of disappointed that they only have the finals these days on the show, you know?
Yep.
Because you really got to dig deep down, oh, yeah, to, you know, beat 2-3 guys off in one night, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's working. You can handle it pretty handily, if you know what I'm saying.
I mean, some people can do it, you know, at one time, you know, it just depends. Right. How cool would it have been to have caught one of those house shows? That tonight's the King of the Ring tournament. I mean, just...
I thought you were going to say how cool it would be to beat 3-4 guys off in one night.
No.
I mean, we can make arrangements there, lover boy.
I'm good.
All right.
I'm great.
Yeah, there's probably a Craigslist ad there waiting for you.
You got to word it correctly. That's the thing.
That is the thing.
To get it through all the filters now, and they're getting smarter. You just got to word it right. But no, how awesome would it have been like to just show up at a random house show and, hey, tonight we're doing a King of the Ring tournament.
Would have been fantastic.
That would have been great, yeah. Out of the first batch of those house shows, Harley Race is the only guy to bring the King into his, you know, on TV or whatever, and then he kind of held the thing as a title for the next few years as it was bounced around.
Do you think that was a way to pacify Harley? Because I don't think Vince was ever going to put his big belt on Harley, being the NWA staple that he was for years.
Yeah, and I don't think that realistically by the time Harley got there, he wasn't in a position, not to say that he couldn't have held the title, but I don't think he was any, like, position to. You know what I mean? Like a physical position to be able to hold the title and run with the title. And I think that him being King Harley kind of suited him at that point in his career, especially because he's not going to be the IC guy. He definitely could have been a tag team for him, but he was never, you know, he was Harley Race. You're not going to put him in a tag team.
Yeah.
So I think having him be the King was probably the smart play.
Unless you're going to, you know, bring Larry the Axe out of retirement, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
But, yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm sure the match against Hulkster when he got hurt was for the title on that main event. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he was getting shots, but, yeah, you know, he was past his days of winning world titles. I guess it was kind of a nice gesture. I don't know if he was a fan of it or not.
Well, I really hope that he was.
I'd be happy to be the King of the Ring.
Oh, right? I'd be ecstatic, man.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of that, I don't know if we include Jerry the King here.
Well, yeah, I mean, we should probably let everybody know we're going to double up on this episode because April kind of got away with us. So we are doing a Royal Edition. We just made a list, top five and bottom five Kings of the Ring. And Jerry the King, Lawler, I guess, wouldn't fall in that King of the Ring because he was just the King, right?
Yeah, he's been the King of Wrestling since the mid-70s. He beat Jackie Fargo in Memphis for that. For, I guess, that gimmick.
Yeah, Jackie Fargo was his guy, too. And you talk about a guy that embraced being a king, right? Not a King of the Ring, but just being a king. Like, down to the music, everything. I thought it was fantastic. I love Jerry the King Lawler. I love his work in ring, on the stick, everything. I think I've said it numerous times. I still go back and rewatch the program he had with Andy Kaufman. One of my favorite stories in wrestling. But I don't, for this specific special, I don't know that we can include him on our Kings of the Ring, right? Because he wasn't a King of the Ring. Am I mistaken there, Al? What do you got thoughts there, Tropical?
Well, and that was the thing that, I guess, the disclaimer. So Jerry the King Lawler, what about the guys that, not the tournament winners, but the ones that when it was held as a kind of mid-card, upper mid-card belt of sorts? Because that is when you got the Macho King.
Right. Yeah, and I think that they took they kind of took it off the King of the Ring tournament, I guess, lineage, right?
Yes.
So, I in my mind, that still kind of would qualify them to be a King of the Ring. It would make sense.
Yeah.
Do we throw Jerry in the mix, or do we just give him a, you know, an honorary?
I say go for it.
1A?
Yeah, I say go for it and let him.
He's the king. He's not a king of the ring. He's just Jerry the King, so he doesn't fit in this list.
Duke just spends too much time at his place in Memphis. That's what it is. That's the...
He's got his throne in there. You know,
the toilet? Does he do? Is the door open?
The door's not open at Jerry the King's.
I don't think the door was open. No.
Thank you.
We got a big poster of John Cena on the bathroom door.
That's where it belongs. So for this, we're going to stick to just King of the Ring tournament winners or guys that have obtained the title of King of the Ring by beating a King of the Ring winner for the crown.
Oh, that sounds great to me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right. Because sure. If we're just going to start throwing all the kings in there, then, yeah, I mean, Jimmy King would be number one for everybody, I'm sure.
Oh, man. I forgot about Jimmy King.
That would be a good one.
You should have saved that and put him on your list, man.
Yeah. He was not a King of the Ring winner, though. But that's,
you got your King Curtis, Iakea.
Right. You
know, he's in future there. Master.
Right.
Yeah, master.
So we're talking 85 to present.
Yeah, man, 85 to present. The guys in there that, like I say, the won it off of somebody else that won the tournament. I think those kind of be our qualifiers for this. We just made a list. We'll start with our top five, right? We'll work our way through our bottom five. So I'm gonna start with five, and Duke, I'm gonna kick it to you, man.
All right, number five. This is a tough one. We're on, I think, the 23rd tournament this year, and there's been, under our qualifications, there's 26 or 27 guys.
Mm-hmm.
One of my personal favorites, only held it for a short period of time. He's kind of a transitional king. I'm going to go King Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Wow, he made your top five.
I might regret it later when I'm scrambling for, you know, I'm just looking at my list here. But I really like what he did. He beat King Haku for the title, and then he kind of had it was kind of a summer of Duggan, where he's the king.
Duggan's getting upset.
If anybody embraced that moniker more than Duggan, I don't know who it was. That's all I'm saying.
The amount of gimmicks that he was sporting at once was absurd. I've mentioned this once before on one of our shows. I remember watching SummerSlam 89 when he was still the king. And he was teaming up with Demolition. So Duggan has his face painted red, white, and blue. He's got the Demolition mask on. He's got the 2x4. He's got the crown on the 2x4. The crown on his head. It's absurd.
It's awesome.
But I love the spirit, you know.
Of course.
And he had a feud with King Harley Race. You know, Harley was, like I mentioned, the first king to bring the belt along with him.
Right.
And they had a pretty brutal feud culminating in, I think it was the first Slammy Awards where they, you know, battled in and out of the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he's kind of a transitional king, but enjoyed his work, man. So I'm going to go King Duggan.
I like it. It's all right, man. I'll take that. Al, if it's okay with you, man, I want to shoot my next one here because I think you guys might disagree with me.
As well?
No, it's not. So a lot of people definitely shit on this king, but you talk like one of the things I love about the King of the Ring winners, the things that bring me closer to them is the guys that really embrace the gimmick, and I think we're all there with that. And so my number five is actually King Mabel. King Mabel fully embraced the gimmick, right? He had the whole thing going down to people lugging him down to the ring with that. What it would be, the sedan or whatever the hell, the damn throne that the peasants would carry him on. You need about 75 peasants to carry his big fat ass out of the ring.
Talk about a job.
Yeah, but then he also, not only did he embrace being the King of the Ring, he also had Sir Mo, right? And Sir Mo embraced Mabel being the King of the Ring, which I thought was fantastic. Obviously, it didn't go it didn't go so well for him long term. The payoff to him winning the King of the Ring and getting that title shot at SummerSlam against the Big D didn't really work for him too well. But I liked him as King of the Ring, and I think I like King Mabel more than I like Men on a Mission Mabel. You know, I think I just like that character for him. So number five for me is King Mabel.
I got no beef with that. I mean, that's it meets that criteria of I do remember Sir Oscar, just all of these things. Like it's bringing back memories of a time when wrestling may not have been the greatest in the Fed, but man, was it fun!
Like, oh, very fun.
There's so many things from that era that it hits you right in the feels. That it wasn't the most technical, wasn't the most sound. Like you had some great wrestlers coming into their own because that was at an era when the Fed was trying to figure out who they were.
Right.
You know, post Hogan was a big, like, shocking change. Like when they started to weed out kind of the older guys, well, I guess shipped them all to Atlanta, Georgia for Ted and his company. That's what it seemed like. But you know, there was so many things that they were sorting out, and Mabel, I got no beef with it.
Yeah. Awesome. What? Give me, oh, you got something there, Duke?
Oh yeah. I wouldn't put him on a top five, but I get where you're coming from because that's the character of his that I remember.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. If he was a little better at his job, it would have suited him better. You know, this King of the Ring kind of gave these guys a launching pad to, you know, to start them. And some of them took it and some of them didn't. But man, what a job that would be to be a sedan carrier though, for that guy.
Oof, rough. The only way it could get worse if you're the sedan carrier for Yokozuna.
I don't know about that.
Al, you're number five.
Well, I happen to be sporting his shirt, and it would be One King Haku. I had to include him on the best list because for what Haku was to the business, and to see him wrestling with Andre there at the end of Andre's run, like Haku bumping like crazy, a guy that shouldn't have to bump the way that he did.
Yeah.
But also, when he was the king, like when he took over for Harley, you know, that spot in the Heenan family, that, you know, it's kind of like the one title, besides a tag title, that they ever put on Haku, which is, it's just a missed opportunity at the time. But they weren't really pushing the Islanders, so to speak, at that period. They were more of a novelty act to have in the Fed, you know, for Vince and his Fed. So I'm going to give some love. I'm wearing the shirt. King Haku is my number five. He had to make the list.
Gotcha. I'm okay with it, man. I like it. I don't, when I think Haku, I generally don't think King Haku, but I'm definitely okay with it. He did embrace it, and I kind of like it. I like it, man.
Yeah, his Jax figure, the Haku figure, was the king. Like, it has the crown on the tights.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Behind me.
Yeah. That's a grail piece for you, brother. I know that. Duke, number four, man.
Oh man, I'm already second guessing my Duggan pick at five.
Well, I mean, don't be a bitch.
So I'm looking at this list, and there's a lot of worthy contenders here. But for my number four, I'm going to go with King Hearts, Owen Hart. So he won the tournament in '94, and Owen Hart just gone too soon. Legendary character. He could wrestle with the best of them, and he was a guy who took that gimmick and, you know, used it to propel himself into the main event. He later became the, you know, the Slammy Award winner, just racking up all these accolades. Really enjoyed that. I mean, following this, he faced Brett at the SummerSlam for the title in a kind of classic steel cage match. He got bumped from the main event to, so we get Undertaker versus Undertaker.
Right.
Yeah, King of Hearts, Owen Hart, my number four.
Not bad, man. I like it. I know that he's likely to be in all of our top fives here because there's no reason why he shouldn't be, so I'm not going to expand too much on it. But I love the pick, man. I like Owen Hart, and I loved him as the King of Hearts. Oh, you got any more thoughts on that? I know he's going to be in your top five as well.
I mean, he's right here.
Yeah.
You know, on the shelf. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, he's going to be in there. Yeah. Yeah, no beef with this pick whatsoever. We'll expand, you know, when I get to him on my list.
So, I am going to go number four. And I'm going to go Randall the Macho Man Savage. Because, I mean, and he could have, hey, you know, Al, I see you fingering me there. You don't need to finger me over this. I think that he embraced the gimmick. I love that he embraced the gimmick, and he probably embraced the gimmick a little bit more than a lot of guys.
Anyone?
I don't know if I go anyone, but it's probably close. The Macho King character was phenomenal. It was top notch, right? Really top notch. I think that the reason why he's not as high on my list is likely because when I think Randy Savage, I generally don't, in my mind, remember him first as the king, right? I don't remember the Macho King first. Most of the stuff that I think of right away is, you know, good guy Savage, original heel Savage, and then WCW Savage. So, and though his work as Macho King was, like I say, unstoppable, right? Did a great job. But for me, he comes in number four, man.
Well, he's definitely worthy of being on the list, that's for
yeah.
sure.
I didn't leave him off the list, Al, so why don't you go finger yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might. I don't know.
I hope you do. Why don't you send it to your lover, Double T? Al, number four on your list, man. What do you got?
So I put the one that Haku replaced on this list at number four, which is King Harley Race, just as the last two being the best kings. Number one, it is, other than Macho King figures being the fig collection pod that, you know, we have over here at Tots, other than Macho King figures, it's probably the best figure, like, of a king wrestler to me, with that robe and everything. There for a while, it was kind of a grail piece when they only released so many of them, and Mattel got wise to it. Oh, we should re-release this, you know.
Yeah.
I know some of the collectors of that first Harley Race were very disappointed because it was selling for, I think, 150 loose.
Jesus.
Harley Race being the king, just that, it was kind of a way to recognize who he was when he came to the Fed. I think that was important, you know, to, you know, number one, keeping Harley happy, because from what I understand of Harley, he was not one to be trifled with or taken lightly. Like, if you made Harley mad, from what I know, Brian Breaker was on Tots with us one time, you know, if he put those, you know, those big monkey paws, as Brian said, on you, got those big old strong hands wrapped around, it could be a bad day real quick. Yeah. Shout out to Danny, who he's a former coworker of mine, a Vietnam vet. When he got home from Vietnam, he went to a wrestling show there close to where he was from in St. Louis, and Harley was headlining. And I forgot who it was against, but they did not like each other, and Harley proceeded to, like, skull drag this guy down the brick wall of a gymnasium as they were in the match, because the guy took a couple of liberties on Harley and threw a couple of shots, so Harley let him know who was the champ.
Right. Bad idea. Yeah, love Harley Race as the pick there. Do you, when you think Harley in your mind, do you think Harley as King Harley, or do you think other variations of Harley before King Harley?
See, it's really tough for me because my first iteration of Harley was King Harley.
Right. That's me too. That's why. Yeah. That's why I asked.
I didn't know him as that long-standing ever NWA champion. You know, the 10 pounds of gold Harley. I've since grown to know this and appreciate and love that. But yeah, my first exposure to Harley Race was as King Harley Race.
Isn't that something else? Like, that was our first, all of our first exposure, you know, and he was 30 years into his career at this point.
Right. That is crazy. Duke, like, man, them. We're going to hit your number three.
All right. I'm going to go with, this might be my only one in the past couple decades. I'm going to go with King Booker.
Oh, gross. Horrible pick.
Man, you're talking about, like, embodying the gimmick, right, of the king?
Yeah.
Very few did what he did with it. You know, he had his gal, Queen Charmelle. He even had the king's court.
Yeah, he did.
The Regal, and I think Hornswoggle, and the Sir Finlay was in there as well. I mean, he might not be my favorite king. He's right in the middle of the pack here, but mm-hmm. I do appreciate how over the top he was with the gimmick and really going for it. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
He also, he was one of these guys who, there's a lot of examples of this, because I didn't really realize how much of a jumping off point the King of the Ring was until I started looking back on this, but mm-hmm. he won a battle royal, and then he won the world title within about a month.
Right. So I think my issues with your pick are more so because I didn't like King Booker. Right. And you talk about a guy that absolutely embraced the gimmick. You're 100% right. Right. He embraced being King Booker, and it was fantastic that he did, but I absolutely hated it. Right. The all hail King Booker. I didn't like Charmel over and over again. I didn't like Charmel just in general. So I understand the pick, and I can appreciate it. And I appreciate that he loved diving into that character, and he really became, you know, King Booker. I just didn't like it. Al, what do you think?
Then why is he on the front of your king shelf I see behind you? If you didn't like it, Kevin. Because my number three pick is King Booker. How you like them apples?
Now, again, Al, I think it had to do more with Charmel and her saying all hail King Booker over and over and over and over again.
Was that your Vicky Guerrero of the time, like an excuse me?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It really was. Yeah. But he embraced it, man. I like that he embraced it. Al, what do you think? He's number three on your list. What are your thoughts of
Booker? He got on the list because of how he just took it and ran with it. And it is one of the best King action figures that they have made.
Yes.
It's incredible. Like, there's a lot of this tied to Figs. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a good bit of mine that will be tied to Figs just in general. But the fact that he ran with that thing, like, he, that was his title at the time, you know, because, you know, he's still, you know, the five time, you know,
five time.
Yeah. He just, it was something about it.
That English accent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just, it was so crazy. It worked for me, man.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't hate the pick. I know I shit on it a little bit, but that was just all in good fun. He embraced it. He doesn't make my list, but yeah, he's there. He deserves a spot, man. Duke, God, where are we at now?
I think it's your turn, man.
Is it my turn?
We just both picked King Booker.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. So we got my number three. And my number three, if there was ever a guy that was perfect, right? Perfect to be the King of the Ring. It's my number three, King William Regal. And he, you know, he embraced it, I think, as much as he could, given the time period in which he won it. But yeah, man, remembering Regal winning that tournament, walking right up to the throne, sitting down, like, it was awesome. And I think, God, what was it, like 2000, was it 2009, 2008, in that range, somewhere in there?
2008,
yeah. 2008, yeah, and I believe he actually beat CM Punk for the in the final. So I really wish that they would have went a little bit longer with the King William Regal. It really fit him, and he even like that the I don't know if you would call that a robe, but it'd probably be a robe that he started wearing after he became King. Like, it fit. Like, it just looked great. I thought he was a great king. Really wish they would have ran with it a little bit more, but yeah, that's my number three is King William Regal.
I believe he was also the GM at the time, which was kind of a nice,
yes, that's, you right
know,
yeah,
he could actually, he actually had ruling powers, you know, so yeah.
Extra heel move there.
Yeah,
he didn't make the list, but he was in very high consideration. Like, it was, he didn't crack mine, but he was up there, like in the tops, because of that. Mm-hmm. How heelish it was, how fantastic, man.
Yeah, it was, I loved him as king. And again, I really think that they could have went a little bit longer, a little bit further with that whole character there. brings us into the number two spot here with the Duke. You still kicking yourself in the nuts?
So many good ones left here on the old table.
Well, while you're thinking of number two, open the door first, Duke. You know, number two, open doors.
You slut. No, you keep the door closed.
All right, I'm going to go with the Macho King, Randy Savage. I believe Macho King was mentioned once by, like, Kevin put him a little too low on his list, but he won the 87 tournament, and then he ended up defeating my number five pick, Duggan, to become the king, and he would he really embodied that role. That was actually the first Macho Man character that I was aware of, because, you know, I'm like five or six first tuning in, and he's this bad Macho King character. So he's got that special place there. We all know how I feel about Queen Sherry, so that's an extra bonus.
Ugh. It's not a bonus. She's never a bonus.
She's a bonus, Kevin.
She's not a bonus. You know she's not a bonus. No, wait, let me ask you something here, Al. Tropic Al, my good friend. Sherry or Rockin' Robin?
Sherry, 100%.
Wait a second, man. You get one night and Sherry and Rockin' Robin are standing in front of you, you say, okay, come here, Sherry, it's you and me, babe.
Sherry knows what's up. I mean,
oh, you are
just a wild thing, man.
You have lost your damn mind. Rock.
Sherry will punch you in the throat and spit in your mouth. I mean,
is that what you want, Al? Because I'll do that.
No.
I'll do that for you.
I like how the Macho King also had his brother, the Genius, make a decrees for him.
Yeah.
That was a good bit as well.
Not bad.
So, yeah, nepotism was real in wrestling then. I'll give it that. That, you know, he got Leaping Lanny that gig as the Genius, and it worked.
It did. It did. Al, what do you got for number two?
Number two is the King of Hearts, Owen. Just because the embracing of the gimmick there, that the King of the Hearts on there, going into the feud with Brett. Man, if that was present day, brother versus brother, with the storytelling that they're doing in WWE.
Yeah.
Holy crap, man. Like, the matches you would get out of those two, it would be insanity how good it would, I mean, just blow your socks off every match. The creativeness that they had together, the chemistry in the ring, knowing where each other was, going back and watching any of their matches together or against each other, just the fluidity of them. I mean, man. But yeah, Owen always has a special place for me. My kid's name is Owen. You know, it's after a buddy of mine, but it ties in nicely to Owen Hart.
That's how you explain it away, Al.
Yeah. Well, he's named after my best friend. Okay. But
my name's Kevin.
Yeah, I know. So my son's name is Owen. I was gonna think of a name for you, but I'll keep it to myself now.
We'll
move on. But yeah, Owen, King of Hearts, man. It's just really hard to beat the way he embraced these awards, these, you know, the mid-card, anytime he had one of those. And if he could have been around when the smaller guys were getting put, like, the strap put on them, just, you know, whenever it was a Chris Benoit and all those, oh my gosh, yeah, what matches we could have saw. Like, wasn't it, is it 25, 26 years ago today, something like that Owen passed? Like, it's,
oh, really? Okay.
That we're recording. Like, it's something like 25, 26 years.
Wow.
I think it's 25. So, yeah.
Jeez.
Moment of silence.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it was that long. Oh, yeah. Good call. Moment of silence for the,
King of Hearts.
Rocket.
So, Kevin, you want to open this door and crack your number two for us?
Oh, no, I'll keep my door closed. Number two for me, boy, I'm going really, back and forth really hard on this because there's one guy that I think had a real underrated King of the Ring. And there's, man. All right, I'm going to go number two is going to be the Hitman. All right, only guy to win the tournament twice. He didn't embrace being the king like I would have liked him to, but at the same time, like, he's Bret Hart. He's not a embrace the King of the Ring type character. What's he going to do, put some crowns on his leather jacket? Actually, that's not a bad idea now that I think about it. But first two-time winner, and I think part of it goes into his performance at the 1993 King of the Ring is an all-timer. It's an all-timer, man. He had such a great night, fantastic finishes in all of his match, creative matches. And again, only guy to win the tournament twice, Bret Hart. He's my number two.
Do you think in 93 they were putting him kind of in that, the Hogan spot? Like, had they done a King of the Ring that involved Hogan, there's no way Terry would have let anybody else, you know, win that tournament.
Yeah.
But at 93, they were really transitioning to Bret, mm-hmm, to be like, hey, he's our new gen guy.
Right.
And I'll give him his props. He's not on my list. Incredible action figure. Yes. One of the best action figures that the King of the Ring action figures that there is that Bret Hart.
Yes.
No doubt in my mind, even though the face scans are trash on Bret typically, incredible action figure. But the fact that Vince could trust him with anybody, you know, I think that was a big thing moving forward in that generation, that you could put him at the top of the card because he could work with anybody.
Yeah.
Yokozuna, Taker, you know, Sid, HBK, you know, HB double T on the Somas, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of right in the midst of this like amazing run that he had, because he had lost the title at Mania a couple months prior. You know, and Hulkster decided he wasn't done yet. And then at this King of the Ring pay-per-view, I think that's when the Hulkster got the fireball, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Hitman won. And I think he had a feud with Jerry the King over the King of the, you know, King of the wrestling bit, which was great. But yeah, he didn't really, I didn't like how he looked with the crown and scepter, man.
Yeah, like, and he's a no-nonsense guy, so, you know, he wasn't going to embrace the whole robe and scepter and crown and all that, but I would have liked to have, I don't know if I even would have liked to have seen him fully embrace it, but yeah, he's definitely, he's my number two, man. I think a lot of it just plays into that tournament. His performance in that tournament was unstoppable. Duke, man, we're to number one.
Oh, man. So once again here, might have jumped. I really enjoyed Duggan's little spell as King. But you mentioned the Hitman. He's a two-time winner. He really deserves to be right here. But this is my list, damn it. So I'm going to go with King Harley Race.
Nice.
So,
all right.
He's already been covered a little bit. You know, he was the first guy to, you know, win the tournament, bring it into the, you know, on TV, and then for the next 3-4 years, folks were, you know, trading back and forth the kingship.
Right.
Yeah, man. He just fit perfectly in the Heenan family as, you know, as the King of Wrestling, and he at that time was whatever, 7-time former champion, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a good kind of twilight period, I think, for Race. You know, he faced JYD at Mania 3. JYD was trying to steal that crown, but didn't happen. Then, you know, of course, I mentioned that brawl that he and the future King Duggan had at the Slammies, which is one of my favorites from that golden era.
Of course.
So, yeah, he, you know, he was the guy who brought it on TV, made it a thing. So he's going to be my number one.
Man, you know, could I modify my list? Can I go back in time a little bit here?
You having Mabel regret?
Well, I just, you know, the more I think about it, and I love Mabel, right? King Mabel. I thought it was a great gimmick for him. But yeah, Ray should be in my five spot. Yeah. Race is gonna bump Mabel. That's the proper thing to do.
You're reneging on your pick, huh?
Yeah. It's the first time we've done it on. We just made a list. We go back and modify. But yeah, I think, you know, the more I think about it, I think Mabel embraced it. He did a great job as the king. But if I'm really breaking it down, I think Race deserves my five spot over Mabel.
I mean, he was my one, so I'm going to allow it.
Yeah. I have no beef with that. Harley was special to wrestling in general.
Right.
I do enjoy when Duke announces his list that it's my list, and you know, anybody but Kevin saying that, you know, when we make these lists, you know, you stand on your own merits there. It's my list, you know. But Kevin, you need
Kevin, who doesn't know what he wants, flip flopping.
Yeah, Kevin doesn't know what he wants. So.
Oh man, I'm gonna flip flop my dong in your face. You like that? Be a big fan of that. You still giving out those free jibbers? Huh?
No.
Well, Al, you weren't giving out the gibbers earlier anyway.
No, it wasn't me.
Right. You're just the guy with the ad on Craigslist. Anyways, Al.
Number one, huh?
Number one, buddy.
As if there was even a doubt. It's Macho King. Like, it's not even a question to me. That is my image of Randy Savage, is the Macho King. Like, that is the one. Like, it is... Mm-hmm. Not only are they incredible figures for my collection, but just that era of wrestling hit so hard for me. I mean, it just, when he cheated to win, you know, with Sherry there, like got the crown from Duggan, the coronation, all of that, you know, leading into, you know, ultimately WrestleMania 6, WrestleMania 7 eras there. When Sherry's begging the Warrior at the Royal Rumble before WrestleMania 7.
Horrible segment.
Oh, man. When Savage clobbers Warrior with the scepter, so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's on her knees looking for some scepter love.
That's my gal.
Shows she's not a quitter, Kevin. Shows she's not a quitter.
Oh, man. Sometimes it's good for her to be a quitter.
That's fair.
I'm good with your pick, man. I like it. Obviously, Randy's on my list. I believe he's on Duke's list as well. So,
yeah, he was right there. Like I said, he was, you know, that was my first Randy Savage exposure, you know. So, it sticks with you. Sure.
Yeah. I love all things Macho. I'll even watch WrestleMania 10 Macho.
Oh, the Crush. That's Macho, against man.
Crush. Yeah. It's terrible, but I'll watch it because I love Macho.
I got you, man. I get it.
TNA Macho, I'll watch it. Bring it.
Well, for all of what? About 3 minutes?
Yeah.
That was pretty rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll still watch it.
Don't watch it, Al.
I love that guy.
Don't watch it.
I would rather watch him just destroy everybody in WrestleMania 4. That's what I'll call it. It wasn't really destroy. He had help, but
yeah.
But it was fun. Fun wrestling. So.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I like it. I like it. My number one is somebody that's on everybody else's list as well. I guess I put him a little bit higher than everybody. I got Owen Hart. So he did embrace the character, not in the traditional sense of like becoming, you know, the guy that shows up in the crown and the carrying the scepter and everything like that. But he's the first guy that actually really incorporated into his character for a long time. Being the King of Hearts. And I actually, his gear when he became the King of Hearts, I loved his gear with the heart, and the crown over the heart, and then the lions and shit on the side of his trunks. Like, it looked awesome.
His theme song.
Yeah. Everything.
Theme song.
Yeah. I mean, when he became the King of Hearts, when he became the King of Hearts, to me, that's when he really became Owen Hart. Right. Like, he had his spots, obviously, as the Rocket. Nothing too crazy. Obviously, he had high energy bullshit. But then he got in the feud with Brett, and he started kind of separating himself into his own character. But he was still the Rocket, and the Rocket never really stuck with me. But then when he became the King of Hearts, that was something that really stuck with me as far as Owen Hart goes and his character. And that, to me, was kind of the launching pad for him to be into you know, never, not really, I wouldn't say he was ever quite main event, but in that, you know, upper card area, and he deserved it. I enjoyed it. I loved it. So yeah, my number one was, Owen Hart, King of Hearts, Owen Hart.
It's kind of a, I mean, I like the pick. I mean, I don't know if this is a controversial take or not, but, you know, he was pretty much just as good as Brett in the ring, and he had a funnier, more entertaining personality, in my opinion. Right?
I thought he was better on the mic than Brett.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'll give you a better on the mic. I will not give you better in the ring.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
Not that
a lot of the same moves.
He could do things
and whatnot,
that Brett couldn't do, though.
Yeah, sure.
The aerial attacks.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm hanging out with a couple flippy guys. All right. I didn't realize that.
Could you imagine if Owen did a Canadian
destroyer?
What
are you bitching about?
Yeah, what are you bitching about?
Yeah. What if he did a Canadian destroyer, Duke? I mean, just.
Oh, man. I bet he invented it.
Probably did. I thought that was Goldberg, but, you know, I could be wrong.
And that'd be the ultimate Owen Hart move.
You two motherfucks. You two motherfucks. One, no, Canadian Destroyer is the worst. Two, Al and that fucking line, man. That did not, all right. That didn't go over my head. You're an asshole. Now I'm pissed.
Pissed.
Al, what's the, did. You already did the tally?
We have a tie at the top. Between Macho and Owen.
Okay.
Ooh.
So here's what we do. We slide Mabel in. We got one and 1A, right?
I don't know if
it's
sliding.
Okay.
It wouldn't be Mabel.
A little too big to slide, man.
It wouldn't be Mable.
So with this list, I'm perfectly fine with doing one and 1A at the top and then sliding another guy in. Yeah. So who would be the slide-in guy?
So you've got Macho and Owen tied at the top, Harley at number two, King Booker at number three, you've got Brett at four, Regal at five.
I like it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. No, that washed out real nice.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about some of the bad kings?
Well, I mean, that's what we're doing next, man. This is a fucking double episode. This is a super special. We're going to get into super special. Right into number five, our five worst King of the Rings, man. We're going top to bottom, bottom to top, all around like Duke wants to do on Sherry's Muff. Duke. I think I just broke hell.
I wasn't expecting that one. That one caught me off guard. Woo!
So would Sherry as well. Anyways, your number five, man.
Man.
Worst of the ring.
All right, number five. This is going to be a kind of talking on both sides of my mouth here, but it's my list, so I'm going to take Stone Cold Steve Austin. So maybe nobody else propelled their career to the top with a King of the Ring more so than Stone Cold Steve Austin, but he said to hell with being the king. After the King of the Ring, I don't know if we ever heard of, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin and the King of the Ring in the same sentence even.
Right.
Which I respect, sure. He doesn't need no damn crowd. But as far as the king, he didn't even entertain the crowd. I mean, I guess that's part of his gimmick, whatever. He's Stone Cold, but it'd be something, man.
So, I'm just going to follow up and say that he's five on my list as well. And So, nobody used winning the King of the Ring as a launching pad like Stone Cold did. Nobody ever has. Nobody likely ever will again like he did. At the same time, he didn't even put the damn crown on, right? Nothing. So, a hell of a victory for him, a hell of a spot. Everybody will always remember that, but as far as being a King of the Ring, he did not hit the mark, man. He did not hit the mark. Didn't embrace any aspect of it. enjoyed the tournament, enjoyed what he did in the tournament, right? Promo is, I mean, if we did a top five promos, that's on a top five promo list, 100% for sure. But as far as being a king and embracing being the king, Austin did not hit the mark. Al, your thoughts, your five.
I mean, the Austin's on my list, but he's a little higher up.
Oh, okay.
On my list. And it's for those reasons that he is, but I'll get to him when I get there. My number five, and I hate to do this to him because I love the guy so much, but it's Xavier Woods.
Ooh, okay.
And not saying that I didn't love Xavier winning, I just feel like they didn't do squat with him when it came to it. Like, he would come out and, you know, play the King Woods character, but it wasn't like the company embraced him. And that's why he's on my worst list, that it just kind of, it fell dead. It wasn't special enough. And I thought that should have been special. When he won that tournament, I thought they could do some fun things. They could do a lot of, you know, crazy stuff. You know, he's always creating content and that kind of thing. And it just kind of fell flat for me. That's why he makes my bottom five list.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that he's going to hit my bottom five, because, and one of the reasons that he's not going to make my bottom five is because he campaigned for the event to be brought back, right? And then he won it, and he embraced it. Now, he didn't get much direction beyond being King Woods, for sure. But you could tell that that meant something to him and that he did embrace it. And that's why he doesn't make my you know, my worst five kings.
Well, I feel like any accomplishment that those three gentlemen being in the New Day accomplished either together or separately was so celebrated by the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And his passion for that new generation era of wrestling when this King of the Ring was such a big thing, you know, it's widely known. Like, Xavier Woods was a huge wrestling fan. And so him campaigning for it was great. I feel like it was Vince's, there, sit over there and shut up now. Like, that's kind of what he got with his King of the Ring. Have Roman crush your crown and you go away.
And then nobody put Xavier in a corner.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense. I mean, had he followed through with the title victory, he would have been the last of the New Day to get a world title, right?
Yeah.
And I would have loved to have seen it. You know, just him get a shot. I enjoy Xavier Woods. So.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a bit of an omen with about half of the winners here. He actually suffered an injury and was out not too long after he won the King.
Okay.
Like I said, that's kind of the case with about half of these guys, actually. But
gotcha.
But yeah.
Duke. Got to hit your number four, my man.
All right, number four. I'm going to go with King Ass. Billy Gunn.
King Ass is four for you.
He could have probably gone a little higher since you've already broken the rules of the list. I might have to adjust my list later on. But yeah, King Ass, he won the tournament in 99. I think that was supposed to propel him, you know, from mid-card to an upper-card type of thing. Didn't really work that way. There was a famous Rock promo where he just, you know, took the piss out of Billy, and they say he was never really the same. I think that's a little bit exaggerated. Right. You know, one promo is not going to just ruin a guy. That's pretty fucking stupid.
Shouldn't.
There's a lot of potential here with King Ass.
Yeah.
They could have done a lot better here. But they didn't, so for that reason, he's on my bottom five.
Gotcha. Al, you got thoughts on King Ass?
Oh, he'll be on the list. It's just higher up.
Gotcha. I like that, man. I like that. I'll give you my number four here, and it's Brock Lesnar. Same reason as Austin. No embracing being the king. In my mind, when he won, it would have been awesome had they embraced it. Give him like that, you know, Nordic crown, right? Really dress him up a little bit. He didn't need it. It would have been weird and out of place to see it. But at the same time, like, at least for the coronation, right? Bring out that shit. Put him on, make him look like a Viking king, right? That would have been kind of cool to see. But yeah, it never, no embrace in being the king, nothing playing into his character. He's simply just a tournament winner. Didn't care for it. He's number four on my list.
Yeah, you didn't need this tournament to get Brock over.
No. No. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, very similar to Austin. You know, this is just on his way up. His Lesnar won everything his first year. Beat The Rock at the SummerSlam for the title.
SummerSlam following that King of the Ring one, yeah.
Yeah, I like the pick.
Yeah. I have no beef with it because my number four was Brock Lesnar as well.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it was a... he didn't need it.
Right.
Like we said, you know, he really didn't need it. I think they were trying to give Brock the clean sweep of everything because when Vince gets his guy, you know, it's a, oh, yeah, yeah.
oh, yeah.
But I mean, that's the thing is that it was pointless. Like it was so fruitless at the end of that, that you have this tournament and everything. You've got people that it could have propelled, but you put your juggernaut in there and he just destroyed people. And
Yeah, I'm with you, man. So Al, you're four is my four, which brings us to Duke's three.
All right, for number three, I'm gonna go with King Mabel. Now, as was mentioned earlier, he did embrace the role, which I appreciate. Probably largest king by far. You know, he had Sir Mo, which was cool. But it seemed like in all of his high profile matches thereafter, he was hurting top line talent.
Right. Well, that's not because it had nothing to do with him being the king.
I suppose king could take liberties, right, if he's the king?
He's the king, yeah. Right.
But it's just an example of a, you know, a push that didn't really go anywhere. Just kind of, I don't know if that was probably part of it had to do with him being an unsafe worker, because I don't think he was around too much longer after that. He came back 3-4 times, you know, 1,000 pounds of sex and... You know, some other moniker, Viscera.
Viscera. Right?
Viscera, yeah. He was Viscera when he was 1,000 pounds of sex, too, man.
Big Boy. Daddy V.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But I do remember him as a kid. There's a little, but he was not a good king. There's a little piece of me that appreciates that, you know, childhood memory of seeing this big king guy, but he wasn't good. So he's number three.
Gotcha, man. Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of it. You know, he was on my top five best and now he's going to be somewhere in the middle, but yeah, it's your list, man. We can have your list. So I guess that brings me my number three, pretty simple one. We've already mentioned him already and it's King Ass. Same reason Duke had King Ass, man. I just a lot left on the table. I mean, around King Ass, was he the one by the time he was king?
I believe so.
Okay. So that would have propelled the one into Billy and Chuck.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, Billy and Chuck is some of his most memorable work. Billy and Chuck was a good run, but...
And they were a strong tag team.
Yes. Yeah, very talented team. So, but just as far as being a king goes, it wasn't there. It was not there, so yeah, Billy's my number three. Oh, Tropical.
Well, here he is. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. For the reasons we've discussed, possibly the one of the greatest, you know, promos ever cut that led to the highest selling shirt in all of WWE merchandising. History, like it, you know, Austin 316 was born, but he won the tournament, cut the promo, left, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
No more King of the Ring. They may have mentioned that he won the King of the Ring, you know, at some pay-per-view, and that's the it. You still just had the beer-swilling redneck Stone Cold Steve Austin
right.
Coming out there doing his, at the time, heel stuff, and you know, getting over as a anti-hero.
Yeah, it's
back when Duke could watch wrestling before WrestleMania 13.
It was kind of an interesting case with Austin, because we're putting him on this list because he didn't embrace the king, you know, the king role, but what he did made him the biggest star that they've ever had.
Right.
You know, so it's not like a bad thing.
No, not at all.
Just not a, yeah, it was just, I like mean, the was Lesnar, and if it's my pick, which I think it is.
Yeah, yeah. You're up number two.
Number two, right? I'm going with Brock Lesnar. You know, we got a lot of similarities on this list. He didn't need the kingship, but it, like I said, his first year he won everything. And actually, after he won the King of the Ring, they just said to hell with it until they brought it back. King Booker won it like 4 or 5 years down the line.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, he was on my list. I got no issues with it. I think we've discussed Brock Lesnar here. Al, do you have thoughts on King Lesnar?
Oh, it's
yeah,
same yeah. as it was. So, yeah,
yeah.
It's a shame you didn't propel someone else that you could have done there.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. Right with you. So what's that, my number two now? And this is where it's getting tougher. This is where it gets a little tough, and I think my number two is going to be Edge.
Edge, the Earl of Awesome?
Yeah, the Earl of Awesome Edge. I just, you know, of all the accomplishments that he's had and all the things that he's done over the course of his career, it's really easy to forget that he was a King of the Ring. Really easy. And not even like in a way that you would forget that, like, say, Triple H was a King of the Ring, or, you know, that Baron Corbin was a King of the Ring. His kingship is largely just completely forgettable. And I don't remember him ever like fully embracing being the king. So yeah, he's number two on my list, man. Not there for Edge as a King of the Ring.
I'd actually forgot that he had won that tournament as well.
Yeah.
So very forgettable.
I don't even remember who the hell did he even beat.
Well, it's 2001, so probably somebody good.
2001, maybe Kurt?
Yeah, Kurt, I think he won the year prior.
Okay.
Kurt was a decent king. Good middle of the road king, but got no problem with it.
Al, your thoughts there, Tropical?
Yeah, I don't hate it. He did not make my list, but it's one of those things you do. Like, it kind of gets washed away in the memory banks that, oh, yeah, he won it.
And, right.
You know, I would have to second guess myself if you brought that up in like a random conversation. Like, did he win one? You know,
right. Yeah.
It's not memorable.
No.
It's not, because Edge could take stuff and run with it at that time. That's the thing that is slightly disappointing, that he did not take this and just crush it, like just run with it and,
right,
you know, launch it in the stratosphere. But, is what it is.
There it is, man. Al, you're number two.
So my number two is one of the biggest missed opportunities ever, because Ted DiBiase won the King of the Ring tournament. How do you not embrace the Million Dollar Man as king?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
What kind of morons are writing this crap, man? You know, it's one of those things.
Even the crown would have been great with just the money signs all around it.
And the Million Dollar King, yeah, that happened during our current season.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, it was nothing.
Right. Yeah. It was just a way to, okay, we're not putting the big belt on Ted right now, but we'll pacify him here just to, you know, give him a bump up, you know, in the rankings and all this kind of stuff. You're in the people's eye. And let him be King of the Ring. And then we're going to do nothing with it.
You know, Al, let me ask you this, because I think it is an absolutely a missed opportunity. But is it more forgivable knowing that he won his kingship at like a house show and it wasn't a pay-per-view or it wasn't an actual big-time televised event, anything like that?
I go back and forth with that.
Okay.
But if you're going to do the tournament and name a King of the Ring, like, you know, I feel like you should You should put more fanfare behind it as a company. And what you could have done with the segments and, you know, his promos and things like that. Because Teddy could cut a promo.
Yeah.
You could have done some things to spruce up that, you know, the entrance gear, that gimmick. I mean, they give him a $1 million title eventually. But, you know, could have had the dollar sign crowns and all this different stuff. And just so many things. And it's such a missed opportunity that's what upsets me the most. That's why he made my list here.
Yeah,
it's a bit baffling too, because at this time Harley Race was out. So instead of making him the $1 million king, they just appointed Haku to be the king.
Right. And around the horn to Duke, man, you're number one.
Number one. Gonna go with the King of the Ring 1998, Kenny Shamrock. I mean, we got WWF in 98, you know, hottest thing going. Previous couple of years, we had Austin and Triple H won the thing, you know, propelled their careers. I don't remember anything about Shamrock. You know, this didn't do much to help him.
Not much could be done to help Kenny Shamrock.
So, yeah, he's my least favorite of the Kings. I don't remember him embracing the thing at all, really. Unlike Austin or Lesnar or Game and other guys we were talking about, he didn't end up on the top after this either. So,
right.
The only thing Kenny embraced was his rage.
Oh, Jesus.
In the zone. There it is.
Got to get in the Royal Zone. Ah, what an asshole. Easy for me to agree with you here, Duke, because Kenny Shamrock is also my number one worst King of the Ring. No embracing it. Very forgettable. Just not there for me, man. Just not there. And I'm, again, not the biggest Kenny Shamrock guy, but this is definitely he was a miss. He was a miss as a King of the Ring for sure. At the same time, it does, you know, you think it probably does help him in the trying to propel that career, but again, there just wasn't much help in Kenny Shamrock. So Ken Shamrock is also my number one. Tropical. Man, are you going to make it 3 for 3? It's just Kenny Sham on...
Unfortunately, no. Billy Gunn holds this title for me just because that's bad, man. I love Billy Gunn. He's an incredible talent, incredible wrestler. And this was just... I don't know if this was to pacify him. This was to, you know, like if you actually had plans to propel him into anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's all said and done, like it's one of the most pointless King of the Ring tournament wins of all time.
Yeah.
Nothing came from it. Again, Ken Shamrock was very much in consideration for this whole list, but I wanted to go a different way. I figured he would have representation. I wasn't realizing he was going to be number one. It's a fine place for Kenny, you know.
So Al, you got the numbers, man. How did
I'm working those out now, so you can talk amongst yourselves.
So I wanted to pitch this here to you guys too while I was working out the numbers. Guys that you think could have made great King of the Ring winners and embraced the King character, incorporated that into the fabric of their character. Anybody come to mind that was never a King of the Ring that you think, boy, they could have really done something with it?
Somebody that's never won the thing?
Somebody that's never won the thing, yeah.
I mean, an easy pick could be somebody who's already got character like Santino, right?
Okay, Santino would have been a fun king, yeah.
Would have been a good king.
Would have been an amazing king.
I do think Million Dollar King was a missed opportunity.
Okay, but he won it, man.
Could have at least flirted with that. Oh, yeah, he did win the thing. I mean, you got anybody?
Yeah, I got a couple guys that kind of come to mind right away. Chris Jericho.
Oh, Chris Jericho could have. He would have been a good king.
He could have made
Marty King of the
fucking Jungle, man, right?
Right.
Lionheart?
I don't know if they would have called him King of the fucking Jungle, but yeah.
Superfly? You could have had Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Snuka could have been a king, yeah. Miro, I think Miro would have made a really good king.
Yeah,
that's nice.
I think from a, like, much in the same way that Santino would have made a good king, I think Eugene would have been a phenomenal king. You know, there's a lot of guys that come to mind. I think, selfishly, I would have loved to have seen Vader as a king. Just see him don that, God, what's that? That kind of robe thing that he had worn there for a while.
White
that
would have been fun. Castle of Fear.
Right. Yes. The old White Castle of Fear king. And then another guy that comes to mind is Cesaro. Cesaro could have really embraced being king.
You got a lot of foreign kings there, Kevin.
Well,
it's
I mean, you got
a trend.
Well, and there's one other guy that came to mind when I was thinking of this. And I think he could have really done something with it and really used it, especially in his time in WWE when he was kind of floundering. Raven could have made that, like, a kingship for Raven would have been super memorable. I think if they would have strapped him with the king and let him kind of run with that character, I think he would have been a great King of the Ring. So, yeah, those are some guys that popped to mind that would have been fantastic in that role.
I've got a fun one. Eddie is King of the Ring.
Eddie would have been fun. Yeah.
Especially if you would have had him versus Ray in the finale.
Holy shit. Ray... Did you know, Al, I'm going to throw this at you, man. Rey Mysterio is the King of Mystery. Did you know that?
Yes.
You did. It's not short for Raymond.
No. Yeah, it's the King of Mystery. The because he wanted to call Dom Prince Mysterio, the king's son, you know?
Right. Okay. Mm. Right. But yeah, he's not just named Raymond. It's not Everybody Loves Raymond Mysterio.
King of
Mystery. I just realized that the other day and my mind was fucking blown. I always thought Ray was short for Raymond.
Well, we have done it again because we have another tie.
Oh, man. You shit. What have we got?
Billy Gunn and Shamrock.
For number one?
Yeah.
Oh, I will die on the hill if Shamrock's worse than Billy Gunn.
But Shamrock's not on all three lists, which Billy Gunn is.
Oh,
last time my
bitch.
Guy lost because of that. So suck it, Kevin.
Yeah, no, you're right. That means King Ass is the worst king.
I was okay because the five spot is also a tie.
Oh, yeah?
So I would say put them 1A, 1A, 1B, and
I'm with it. 1A, 1B. What do you? So how's the list shake out?
So you got Gunn and Shamrock at number one, tied for the points. Brock at number two. You've got Stone Cold Steve Austin at three. You would have, technically you could go it like this, Edge and Million Dollar Man tied, so as your four and five.
Yeah.
You would have them together there.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to go with that tie, you would have Mabel on the list then.
Nah, I mean, Mabel doesn't make the list. One other could be king I want to get your guys' thoughts on. Scott Steiner. The King of Peaks and Freaks.
He would have been an entertaining king.
Yeah.
He even wore that chainmail shit, right?
That's where my thought came from, yeah.
Yeah, he would
a lot of good opportunities.
King.
A lot of good opportunities.
Carried his own sedan chair.
Yeah. That would have been hilarious.
I don't know how that works physics-wise, but he could have done it.
He would have done it, yeah.
Pretty good at making those entertaining degrees, so could have seen that for sure.
Yeah, would have been a good king, man.
So we got King Ass is worst. Savage best?
We're going to say it's... yeah. Well, we can say Savage and Harley were... Well, not Savage and Harley. Savage and Owen tied for first, and then Gunn and Shamrock tied for worst.
Yeah. I'm with it, man.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Any final thoughts on the King of the Ring as a whole, as a tournament, as a... I mean, just final thoughts, I guess, on the King of the Ring.
I'm looking forward to this one. I know we haven't covered this year's King of the Ring, but I'm anxious to see who they crown and what they do with it.
Oh.
Under the new regime running this show,
mm-hmm.
I am curious to see how they go with it.
And again, we're recording this pre-SmackDown, so we don't know who's in the finals just yet. But it's going to be interesting, and I hope they do great things. They keep building momentum with the main product. So
yeah, I know Gunther's kind of been a favorite throughout the whole tournament, and he's going to be in the final. Kev, I've heard you talk about this quite a bit. Well, about him winning the tournament. But do you see him as a guy who's going to cape and scepter it, get the sedan out there? Can that work for him?
Yeah, I think if there's, like, especially in the landscape that we're in right now, I think there's a guy that would really fit. I think that King Gunther is a guy that would really fit. I think it makes sense. Like, I don't know if he's going to wear a crown. You know what I mean? I don't know. He's already got that jacket he wears to the ring.
I think you're going to get an updated jacket and possibly some kind of like mace scepter type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And which works too, because like when you look at him, he looks like he would be a king of the ring. Right. Again, I don't know if he's going to go crown or not. I don't know if he wants that crown messing up his hair. But yeah, I'm all about Gunther winning the King of the Ring, and I hope he does. I really do, and I hope that they embrace it, that he embraces it. At least for, you know, give me 6 months of King Gunther, right? Give me until next year's King of the Ring. Give me King Gunther, right? I'm for it.
But yeah, I love the tournament. You know, like I said at the top of the show, my only complaint with this year's edition is that they're only set to have the finals on there. Like to see some endurance out of the winter, you know?
Yeah, at least the semis and the finals in the same night.
Right.
There's more. I think there's more story to tell in having the semis and the finals in the same night. And I do miss that from the old King of the Ring. Like, I miss seeing multiple King of the Ring matches in one night. So, love the King of the Ring. I still think that every King of the Ring winner should be challenging for the title at SummerSlam. I think that should be the way it sets up, because even if the winner of the King of the Ring doesn't win the title at SummerSlam, it still kind of pushes. You're able to catapult somebody into that spot, and headlining one of the big four is a big deal. So that's you know what I think that should be done, and I think I'll always think that. Al, you got any final thoughts on the King of the Ring?
No, I do want them to make it special again. That's that's my only request. Just make it special, make it worthwhile, or don't have it. You know, that's the thing. If it's not going to mean anything, you know, why are you doing it? Yeah. If you're making all this fanfare, making all this stuff, make it special.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, guys. That was a lot of fun. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us, talk a little King of the Ring. I am Handsome Kevin alongside Tropical. Tropical, you don't have a sign-off, do you?
No, I don't.
Son of a bitch. And Duke Bags?
I'm Duke Bags. Pull one out of there.
Handsome Kevin. Lad, one in there. Yes, I got me one time.